So this is the Ruby buff by led by Antonio Tercera.
Thank you. Okay, good morning everyone. So this is the Ruby buff. We are going to discuss our plans and actions for the Jesse release. I think before anything, we can at least be aware of the good work we did with the Wheezy release. So we had we decided to change the a lot in the packaging of Ruby libraries and applications. We wrote a new packaging helper based on DH instead of the old one based on CDBS, and we had to convert a lot of packages. And then you can see here with this green line that we did a very good work. So by the time Wheezy was released, we had 878 packages converted to not only the new packaging helper, but also to the new naming scheme we created. So we had usually, before we had libfoo-ruby, and now we have ruby-foo, which looks like the Python scheme, and it's, well, everyone in the team thought it was a better naming scheme for libraries. Okay, and then, yeah, so we should be proud of this, and now we have to keep on the good work for the Jesse release. So now Cedric created a nice to-do list for the Jesse release, and then I organized that page in terms of status, what's the item that has to be done, and then we are going over each item here in this buff and try to get volunteers to carry the work and discuss briefly each item. So when we say volunteer to carry the work, does not mean that the person has to do all the work by themselves. It's just the one responsible for making sure it happens. So it's more than encouraged for people to seek help for each task of those. So yeah, first item in the agenda is the Ruby 1.8 removal. So Ruby 1.8 is unsupported upstream already. So upstream dropped support for that version, and we don't have any kind of upstream support anymore. So we need to drop that from Jesse's app. It's still available on Wheezy, but the idea is that we're not going to have Ruby 1.8 on Jesse. So then we have a couple of action items on that front. First, to drop the support on gem2dev, which is our packaging helper. This is done in Git, so we are just waiting for some more information about what fails without the Ruby 1.8 support to upload into the archive. That's with me already. And then we have to identify packages with a hard dependency on Ruby 1.8 and file bugs. Make sure people know that we are removing Ruby 1.8. And during DevConf, I already did a small part of this with. So I tried to make sure I could remove Ruby 1.8 from my system. So I already fixed a couple of packages that were unnecessarily depending explicitly on Ruby 1.8. And now we have to catch all the others and file bugs. So if anyone is volunteer to do that, please put your name into the document, in the Gobi document. Which, by the way, is devconf13/buff/ruby on gobi.debian.org. So the next item, or if you are not on Gobi, you can tell us on IRC or here, and I put your name up for it. Then there's the work of tracking the non-leaf packages. So stuff that is central to the archive, like libsc Linux has a Ruby binding, so obviously we can't remove libsc Linux. The KGE bindings are still building only for Ruby 1.8, so we have to make sure that we don't make sure that those packages are fixed, and then if there are only leaf packages left, so we can just request them to be removed if nobody fixed them in time. Yeah, special case here is a KDE Ruby packages are still 1H only. Then we have to identify the packages that are Ruby on H only and throw them away after we give some time to for people to fix them. And then request removal of Ruby 1H. I mean, I'm not sure we need to do that in that order, but at least we have to make sure core stuff is not removed because of Ruby 1H. So one idea here, that I would like opinions, is whether we want to add lint and checks for packages depending explicitly on Ruby 1H or even in specific Ruby versions. So we should, at this point, we should not be, maybe we should not be allowing packages that require a specific Ruby version to work. So any opinions on that? Get the microphone.
Maybe it depends on Ruby 1.8 should be a Lintian error, and depends on the specific Ruby version should be a Lintian warning or something.
Okay, that sounds good.
We should also add a Lintian check for the old naming schema.
Sorry? Is that all right? I hope it is. Yeah, that's messed up the table a lot, but okay.
What Gunnar says on IRC is that specific Ruby versions can be a pain, but sometimes it works just fine. And interpreter versions last up for several years, so he would not suggest dropping altogether support for interpreter versions.
So not having multiple versions at the same time, like Perl does? I think you guys can read that from the back. So Gunnar, we can have multiple versions, but yeah, okay. So if a package depends on Ruby 1.9.1 only, we should not drop it. Yeah. I'm not proposing to drop them. I just think we should at least warn people. Yeah, I think. No, I'm not suggesting dropping specific version supports. Just that every package that has a strict dependency on a specific version makes our job of adding support for new versions harder, and makes dropping that version in the future hard as well. So my idea is, maybe we should allow them and but keep a Lintian warning there, telling the maintainer that that's going to make his life harder and our life harder as well.
For the old naming, shouldn't it be an error?
Should it be an error?
I don't think so.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Yeah, if you guys can take notes, it's better because I have to keep the flow here. Okay, I think, does anyone else have another point in the Ruby 1H removal, concerns, questions? I think it's clear that we can't maintain it anymore, right? So okay, let's go. Okay, so next step is other interpreters. So we have a couple of items here. we have Ruby 2, which is mostly done in Git. I'm just finishing the last packaging bits to upload, especially with regards to multi-arch. So Ruby 2 is going to have multi-arch support. The Gem2Dev support is done in Git. So in the Git version of Gem2Dev is already built for Ruby 1.9 and Ruby 2, and does not build for Ruby 1.8 anymore. We have to file bugs against packages that fail to build with the new Gem2Dev plus Ruby 2. During DevCamp, David Suarez helped us with a rebuild, and then we have the results there. And it would be nice to have someone to go over the results and file the appropriate bugs.
So one question about that is, what is the state that we want in JESSE? Do we want Ruby 2 plus Ruby 1.9.3, or do we want only Ruby 2?
Okay.
If you have an answer, I mean.
Yeah, so my idea is to probably make Ruby 2 the default, but still keep Ruby 1.9. And then for JESSE plus 1, remove Ruby 1.9. That's my initial idea.
I don't know how long Ruby 1.9 is supported by upstream for security support reasons.
My impression was that Ruby 2 was closer to Ruby 1.9.3 than Ruby 9.3 from Ruby 1.8. So it might make sense to just drop it as soon as we have reasonable Ruby 2 support. It makes our life much easier also for the for stable release.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the problem is we don't have a freeze date yet, but it's likely to be not too far away, actually. Yep. So, well, something like beginning of the summer of next year, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think let's think about it. And I think at least making Ruby 2 the default should be a goal. We can even add here. Okay. Okay, we stop it. Okay, after the filing the bugs. We have also track bugs against packages that fail to build from source within Ruby 2, which shouldn't be too many. From this rebuild we did, we had 500 something packages and more or less 100 failed to build. But I suspect that most of them was because the lack of Ruby 1.8. So because the difference between Ruby 1.9 and Ruby 2 is a lot smaller than the between Ruby 1.8 and Ruby 1.9, so the transition should be a lot smoother. Okay, so yeah. We also have other interpreters like Rubinius. I did initial packaging, should be fine, but it's probably already outdated. I didn't have too much time to give to that because of the main interpreters. So if maybe I will do, but if someone wants to take it, please do it. We also have JRuby, which is horribly outdated. Maybe someone could help talking to the Java.
So for Ruby News, is it still relevant? Because it doesn't seem to be maintained upstream anymore. The last release is from 2001. 2011.
11, yeah.
11, yeah. Or maybe just that they do everything in Git and...
they don't even release Star Wars anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cool okay, guys.
No, that commits from today in Git.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, release, like, nobody does release anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Rubinius is nice because it has... it's based on LLVM, so it has JIT compiler and lots of cool features that are probably a lot useful, but yeah. And also we have to check the situation of JRuby. So JRuby currently doesn't use the Ruby package at all. It has its own library path. It doesn't use the Debian package. So we need to... Yeah. We need to... Yeah, so Gunnar asks if it's how horrible would be to support Rubinius together with the main interpreters. So all those are supposed to be compatible. So actually, the Rubinius guys were the guys who started Ruby Spec, which is kind of a unit test for Ruby implementations, which is the main Ruby implementation also use that today. So it's supposed to be compatible, so we should not have any problems, even with C extensions. So the API should be the same, and it should work. So as long as someone does the work, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do it, but as long as someone does the work, it should be maintainable. Okay. Any more issues or concerns about new interpreters? So David Suarez is actually interested in JRuby and is going to take up that work. Nice, thank you. Cool. Yeah, next up is to finish the transition. So we did a really good job, but we weren't able to do transition of all packages. So there are still packages building with the old packaging helper and using the old naming scheme of libfoo-ruby, and we have to either bring them to the Ruby team to finish the transition, or NMU them, or even remove them from the archive if they are not useful and don't have any reverse dependencies. So it would be nice to have someone to look at it, at that. And also, we at this point we should probably publish our policy, which was written and it should be fine. But we never went into the trouble of actually publishing it somewhere in the Debian.org website or something. It would be nice to have someone else to look at that, but yeah, so yeah, we are using DocBook and that stuff, and I think there are lots of better options for writing in a maintainable way. Any comments on this item for finishing the transition? Any doubts, any questions? Oh, Paul Van Tilburg is still here. Hello. We have quite some people following you on IRC. Yeah, so Paul, if you could reassume the work on the Ruby policy, it would be fine. It would be nice. Or at least take it up. Okay. Next item is Gentoo Deb improvements. So this is both regular maintenance. So there are some bugs there. Most of them wishlist bugs that we have to take care of to either fix them or mark the ones that are not feasible with one fix. And this is a nice opportunity to get new people to maintain the packaging helper to reduce the bus factor. So today is mostly me doing the maintenance. It would be nice to have other people. I am willing to mentor anyone who takes that, wants to do that. There's also a to-do file in the Git repository, which should be also a good source of ideas for improvements. There is a low-hanging fruit to integrate auto-package tests and have our packages with runtime tests. So currently, Gentoo Dev's will run unit tests against the build package, but we can, with a very small change, we can make it run against the installed version. So we would gain support for auto-package tests and the entire infrastructure that's going to be created around that for automatic testing migrations and stuff like that. And we also help QA a lot. So, I am willing to mentor anyone who wants to do anything Gentoo Dev. We also have here another item, automatically build and ship developer docs. Yeah, it's a nice feature as well. So anyone, if nobody takes it, I probably end up in my hands, but it would be nice to have people to help with that. Does anybody has other wishes or complaints against Gentoo Dev? No? Okay. Okay, now we have some more social items, not so much technical ones, but still stuff we need to do. So first, coordination points. I think it would be nice if we organized a Ruby sprint. Maybe not periodic, but at least one sprint, some reasonable time before the freeze, so we can actually do important changes. Lucas suggested doing together with FOSDEM, close to FOSDEM. We also have the recently announced UK Mini DevConf, so we maybe could do that there as well. And is there someone willing to organize that? No, not you, but I think in Paris is usually the place that takes sprints, right?
Yes, Paris. There's a venue you can quite easily use in Paris. But Cédric is in Paris as well. Well, I'm not in Paris, but Cédric is in Paris, so.
Okay. Anyone volunteers to organize a sprint? Well, okay.
For a sprint to be efficient, we would have to focus on something. What do you have in mind?
Okay, probably making sure everything works with Ruby 2. So right now we have 100 packages that fail without Ruby 1.8 and with Ruby 2. And then once we know exactly what's the situation, then we can probably focus on making sure stuff works with Ruby 2. But I also think that the volunteer who takes up this task should also propose a focus, and I think we can right now I don't know exactly what the focus should be, but I think in 1 or 2 months we will be able to know what we need, what would be helpful to focus on in this sprint. Are you a volunteer to organize?
I mean, I could, depending on when, but Paris is not the best for me, but I can. I mean, like, it's yeah.
Yeah, I think organizing involves deciding on the venue, so.
Yeah, I know. Then bugging people.
Yeah,
until
yeah.
Death,
it's mostly coordination work and then making sure figuring out how many resources we need to fly people there, or to, I mean, for myself it has to fly to be flying because there's no other way to cross the Atlantic. But yeah,
or as Gunnar says on IRC that we have a non geo-centered sprint.
Yeah.
So just meet on IRC during a week and
yeah, it could be that as well.
Have focused. Yeah, communication and development.
That works, but I think a presential meeting is a lot more productive. Yeah. But yeah.
Also for real, it's like I can, if I'm with people working on Ruby stuff, I can like focus on Ruby stuff. Otherwise, there's all my life and so many volunteer stacks, you know, bugging you
exactly.
Every single day. Come on, fix this server.
Yeah.
Do that. I'd rather, I mean, if it's like, if half of the people can be in Paris and we can fly you over to Paris, then I mean, let's do that.
Yeah. Okay. Next item is organize monthly meetings. So yes, 2 people already said that we need those. It would be nice, and I think it's good to have. So. And volunteers to do that, to organize meetings. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Okay, so yes, and then I will propose in the mailing list some format for the meetings and some way of doing it that makes it the more productive as possible. Okay. Yeah, so then we come to the last item, which is, I call it outreach. It's somehow related to lots of discussions we had during DevConf about getting new people and making sure they know their way through the team tools and practices. And it would be nice to have someone to coordinate an initiative for getting new people. And probably this should be coordinated with the general Debian mentor initiative. So basically it would be someone to talk to Ashish and start doing something about this. Lucas has comments.
Yeah, so I think that for many of the things listed on that wiki page, there are issues that, well, it's easy to throw a lot of quite inexperienced people at them. So yeah, we should clearly try to get people involved through that process, and it worked quite well in the past. If you look at the Ruby team 3 years ago, it's great to see that there are, I don't know, something like 12 people at, on the on the Gobi document.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. I feel that at least reviewing packages today is under as little manpower than it had before. So yeah, maybe we just maybe we already have a good incoming flux of people, and we just want to make sure that those people don't get those people do get answers for the package. And Yeah, Cedric's saying that we already have many RFS mails on the list. Yeah, you guys are right. Maybe we just need more people to review packages, so even those who are not DDs yet can do that. So please, if you already maintain packages, and please help. Please help with that. And then we there is a PR issue we need to maybe do some PR about the state of Ruby in Debian. I was just me and Luna were discussing this during the hike about and then I had a crazy idea of creating a live / install DVD to demonstrate Ruby on Debian. That would come with a basic desktop system, or depending on the level of bike shedding, we could do one for each major desktop system, and then coming with already everything you need for developing Ruby, so good text editors, all the tools, Rails, and everything. And that's also somehow influenced by the talks about blends and how they help bring people. I think the Ruby team already has some history of bringing people into Debian, and then maybe that could also help. I don't know if there's someone willing to do that. Anybody has any comment on that?
It's just a 5 minutes job. You just need to know what packages you want, and that's it. And the rest you can clone the official image configurations and just add your packages, and you're done. So, if you know what packages you want, you can just tell me, and I'll help you along. So.
Okay, cool. But but then the question: will people actually use that? Do you think? We need to tell people that that exists, and then we have to make sure people. Yeah, because today when someone asks how to use Ruby on Debian, depending on where you ask, they will say use RVM and install everything from source. And I don't know if we care enough about people doing that, or yeah, okay.
I'd rather, I don't know, I'm one communication channel, I don't know how many people read it, but I do. There's someone like doing a Ruby Weekly News letter.
Sorry, can you say that again?
Someone is doing a Ruby Weekly newsletter.
Uh-huh, yes.
And I'd rather try to, I don't know, come up with a series of blog posts and try to have that covered in the Ruby Weekly News saying, hey,
yeah.
Come on, we can use Ruby on Debian, or maybe you could show, probably some could show that Ruby integration stuff, which is kind of neat,
mm-hmm.
And is often completely overlooked. That's, I mean, it's not, because the DVD, I would not use it, so. Usually what I do when I want to test Ruby packages is take a live and use packages from the archive.
Mm.
So I'm not sure like embedding the packages, at least for my use cases, is not really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. My thinking about that was I am subscribed to the Rails Brazil mailing list, and there is a lot of people who go there without any idea how to start using Ruby. So if those people have a DVD image to just install and everything is there already, instead of messing with RVM, RubyGem, everything. Maybe that would be a good way to get people coming. I mean, not to people coming to the Ruby world to know that they don't need to compile stuff from source. They can if they want to, but they don't need to. Yeah, so I don't have hopes of converting the people who are already lost, but at least making the new people not go to the dark side would be nice.
I mean, I don't know also how much I've yet to read a good, comprehensive, short critique of RVM and why, you know, the problem it has. Because it I mean, the approach of virtual end for Python or RVM is, I mean, problematic to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because of at least for upgrades and all. But
yeah, I'm not sure if I want to go into criticizing RVM. People who use operating systems that don't have proper package managers, RVM is perfectly fine for them. So, I mean, it's maybe the best solution for them. It's not for people who use Debian because we do have a reasonable package manager. So, in the past, RVM did things like redefining the CD built-in in the shell. I think they don't do that anymore, but that's a detail. So that was, they did some things in a very invasive way. It's not, I think it's not the case anymore today, and I don't think we should go there. We just have to advertise the good points about Debian that people choose.
Less trolling then.
Yeah. Yes, I would ask people to take keep an eye on IRC because the guys are saying good stuff there, and maybe we lose it because I can't follow everything.
Just a comment I saw briefly on the screen when you switched to IRC. Someone was saying about tasks. This one I find very important, that the Ruby team should have really good task.
Tasking the installer.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Not just in the installer. I mean, in general, if it then shows up in installer, that's another thing. But so that you can like get install task Ruby or whatever, or Ruby development, or Ruby on Rails or whatever, and you get all the stuff that you're supposed to get.
Okay.
I didn't know you were thinking about a live DVD or whatever, but having a task would be much more nicer than the images. So.
Okay.
And if you then want to do an image of it, then that's, yeah, very simple anyway.
Okay, yeah, thanks for the suggestion. So we are close to the end, and we have 6 minutes left. One question from Lunar about how to handle jQuery embedding in docs. That's a very good question. I think lots of packages have this problem. And do you guys think we could work out a way of having that handled automatically by Gentoo Dev? Per, I think you volunteered for the automatic documentation generation. Do you have an idea about that?
I don't understand the multiple versioned since they're generated.
Okay.
I suppose just
Gunnar, can you explain about the multiple version bit that you added?
Because what I do now manually in all my packages is to generate the docs with RDoc and then remove jQuery.js and link, build, no, depend on libjs jQuery and link, symlink that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's a mess because every documentation you generate now has that. So maybe I think you could try to look at that when you are working on the automatic documentation generation. Then the code that does that already does this sync-link juggling. And
do you ship the doc in a different package or in the same package?
I broke them out to a separate package, but FTP masters thought that it was waste, so now they're merged into one package.
Because then the problem is that we end up with having like, you know, 100 Ruby package, binary package with, you know, that doesn't have anything related to jQuery at all, but which depends on jQuery just because of the doc, and that's pretty stupid.
So it makes sense to have a separate doc package? At least more sense, maybe.
Also, remember that you should never ever depend on jQuery, libjs jQuery, because otherwise, if you have recommends installed, it pulls in Apache and all the shit. So you really don't want that.
Yeah, that's yeah. So I think
if we have a few minutes left, I would like to ask you a question.
Okay.
So again, I have several application to package which are Ruby application for Kali Linux, and they tend to use bundle. Is there any good documentation on the way to package those? Because right now, I have most of you probably know it, but bundle has strict version dependency because when you generate Tarball, you have a bundled gamefile.log or something like that, which has precise versions and that do not match what's in Debian. So up to now, I use the ugly way of bundling the whole bundle in the package that I generate so that I don't have any issue. But if I want to upload those to Debian, I will have to do it properly. But is there any definition of what properly is in the case?
So,
or are you just not using bundle for those?
Okay, there is not really documentation on that yet. So the idea is that you have to check whether the strict dependencies are sensible or not, because sometimes it's just because the upstream author run bundle and then it got the dependencies that the person had installed at that time. And usually you don't want the code to depend on how the dependencies were installed. So what you can do is test if it works with the packaged versions and then override the bundle, or even comment that out if you already made sure all dependencies are packaged, then you shouldn't need to use bundle, because the main use case of bundler is when you have multiple versions of stuff installed at the same time, and then bundler will figure out which gems to load.
Yeah, so to make sure I understood, but well, this means the patching upstream code, because it's not much, I guess, but only a few lines. But
yeah, I think if upstream is unreasonable, then we don't have any other option.
Okay.
I wish we could. I mean, one idea for auto package tests is to load those gem files and make sure the dependencies that upstream intended are satisfied on Debian, so that if it's not, we know in advance. But then you get to the problem of each upstream wants a different version of something, and we don't really package multiple versions of libraries. So yeah, I think we will need to reach a good way of doing that, in the future. So I don't have an answer right now, but we should. Okay, I think our time is up, and we can finish here. Thanks, everyone. I think we went to the points that needed attention. And if any items has no volunteer yet, we will try to find volunteers for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonio.